Hi, this is James Devine, and I am an educator who has come out of the trenches. Listen in as my friend and colleague Dana Goodyear shares stories and tips from other educators who have come out of the trenches.
Welcome to the Out of the Trenches podcast. This is Dana Goodyear. Thanks for listening.
My next guest is Latrice Younger. She has over 14 years of education experience across several different school districts. She began her education journey as an English language arts teacher in Dinwiddie County, Virginia, and she credits with firming her foundation in education excellence. Throughout her career, she's taught ELA for grades 6 through 12. She is currently an AP at the high school level. Ms. Younger currently serves the students of Patrick Henry High School. She possesses a Bachelor of Arts in English Education from Virginia State University and a Master of Educational Leadership with a concentration in technology education from Strayer University Henrico campus. Currently, she is pursuing her doctoral degree in educational leadership and policy from Virginia Tech University. She's a writer, Virginia Teachers of English board member, and a founder and executive director of the nonprofit Black Women Education Leaders, Inc., BWEL. Welcome to the podcast, Latrice.
Good evening. Thank you. I'm so glad to be here with you today.
Well, thanks so much for being my guest. I contacted you a while back, and I'm glad that we're finally connecting and I have you on the podcast. And we'll get right into the first question I ask everybody. Tell me about a time when you were in the trenches and managed to crawl out.
I thought about that question when you first offered it to me when we pre-chatted. And I can tell you, I've been in the trenches several times. So I was trying to sort of narrow down one particular time to talk about. I guess I can just tell a story of what I usually tell most teachers I meet when I come to a building new as an administrator. Mm-hmm. I've been a school administrator in three different districts. And so now I've been associated with three different staffs. But each time though, I always tell them my biggest failure story is when I was when I was a literacy coach working in Petersburg, Virginia. Mm-hmm. I envisioned that leadership was about just telling people what to do. Mm-hmm. And so my biggest mistake that I made in doing that was I didn't gain any consensus. I had a very difficult time getting people to follow me. No one wants to follow someone who is arrogant. No one wants to follow someone who does not take the time to galvanize, who doesn't get lots of input. I just really had a mindset of, I know what's best. I know what is going to be effective for students and what's going to help us move in the positive direction for student achievement. And so everyone should just follow me. And that absolutely did not work. It backfired. The team that I was to supervise, they absolutely refused to do anything that I had offered as a suggestion, even though some of the things were very research-based. I mean, I had all my facts, I was lined up, but I didn't approach them properly. And so I didn't take the time to get to know all of those teachers, what they brought to the table as individuals. I didn't get to know what their backgrounds were, and I didn't get to, figure out how they could possibly help me in sort of co-constructing a plan of action for the students that we were supposed to serve. So I tell people that story all the time because I want people to know, one, that I'm imperfect, and two, that I'm vulnerable enough to accept that in my imperfection, I need to make some modifications and tweak what I'm doing so that I can be more effective. And then again, telling that story to people, my hope is that people will learn from their own mistakes, be willing to be open and honest with others, and then try to make a positive turn in the future so that they can really make some positive impact for kids. But that's just one of several in the trenches stories, to be frank.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, I think that's a great way to start out when you're meeting new staff, right? Because, you're coming from a place of vulnerability and a place of, I'm honest with the fact that I made mistakes and that, I've had this experience that I've learned from. So yeah, a great way to start those relationships. So
it definitely helps with getting them to do risk-taking because they're like, oh, okay, Younger understand. So yeah. I want people to feel that level of comfort when they're working with me.
Mm-hmm, mm-hmm. So in the bio, I mentioned that you founded Black Women Educational Leaders. It's a platform for Black women educational leaders to amplify their voices and be respected in the education industry. So how did it come about? Were you in with some colleagues when you started it? Talk a little bit about that, how it got launched.
Sure. Be Well is very much so a passion project that is my baby. It really started as just some social media posts. I created a page on Twitter in November of 2019, just to amplify voices of Black women in education and leadership. And that was done for a couple of reasons. One, because I had been doing a lot of research around that time. It was when I was starting to prepare myself for possibly pursuing a doctoral degree. Mm-hmm. And so I was trying to figure out, well, if I'm going to do this, I need to be deeply passionate about the area that I like to focus on. And so I just started a page where I could always ensure that Black women in leadership, their voices were going to be heard. I wanted to ensure that people knew, one, that they truly exist. Statistically, there are so few Black women in education leadership. There are so few women in education leadership. Yeah. Education leadership is traditionally dominated by males. And so when you start to look at demographics like mine, when I talk about Black women, of course, that number is going to be even lower. And so I wanted people to know, yes, there are people who are out there, and look at this positive impact that they're making on students and staff. And so from that Twitter page, I think it was maybe about January of 2020, I had reached out to just all of the people who had began to follow. I put a post out asking people if they'd like to be a part of a steering committee. And it's so ironic that one of my sorority sisters who's here in Virginia, Regina Turner, she accepted that challenge. And she said, you know what? I have some other women that I think would be interested. And so she and five other women got together with me, and we became the Be Well Steering Committee. And we decided that we would go beyond sort of just doing the social media thing. We wanted to actually create a membership organization. I had already been doing little things with Be Well. I've been doing book giveaways when I reached a certain milestone on Twitter for followers. I was doing like Wednesday wisdom quotes. I was doing a Monday motivation quote. I was highlighting Black women all across the country, pretty much across the world, to be frank, because I think I have about two or three international highlights, but just highlighting the work that they were doing in schools and in education, leadership. And so we decided as a team that we would go beyond just doing the highlight thing. We weren't going to make this a full-fledged organization that was built on service. And again, the rationale behind that is there are so few Black women in education leadership. What can we do to help solve that problem? Well, we can start by making sure that we're mentoring, coaching, and supporting Black women who aspire to be leaders. And so we designed a scholarship program, which is offered to our members. For any member who is interested in pursuing a graduate level or doctoral degree, they can receive a total of $500 towards that. We also offer a scholarship for aspiring leaders who would like to take a school leadership assessment, because in many states that's required. And so I don't want anyone to not be able to become a school level leader because they lack the funding to take the assessment. So we offer that as another added bonus. We have a book club that runs so that we can get together and talk about leadership. We have Twitter chats where people get to learn and engage from one another all across the world. And so we began to put together all of these sort of services to make sure that we are very civic minded in what we're doing, and that we're very intentional with the work that we intend to do to make sure that any Black female who aspires to be a leader can become that.
So you talked a little bit about the programs and services. So if members need help with interviews, or you know, they're maybe needing resume review or something like that, is there a way, and maybe even you mentioned the licensure test. So is there a way that members can get connected with somebody who can review resumes, interview practice, or, you know, help practice for the test?
Absolutely. All they have to do is reach out to the president, and the president puts out what I consider an all call, and anyone who's available will reach out. We have a membership lookbook where all new members just sort of put all the information onto a slide, all their contact information. And so anyone can reach out to anyone at any time. You look and see what a female, I mean, what a Black woman's expertise is. Maybe she is a superintendent. Maybe she is a curriculum director. And if that's the area that you need support in, you can reach out to that person and form a connection just that simply. But we also do a lot of that connecting through our mentorship program. So those people who are in need of a mentor are connected with someone who will mentor them. And the mentors are not always Be Well members. They're just Black women who have decided, I want to help. So we have people, we have a mentorship cohort right now for this school year, where a couple of the mentors are members and some of them are not, and they are reaching out to support our Be Well members just to help grow and cultivate them.
This podcast is a proud member of the Teach Better Podcast Network. Better today, better tomorrow, and the podcast to get you there. You can find out more at teachbetter.com/podcasts. Now let's get back to the episode.
Yeah, it's a great way to connect the women, you know, otherwise who might not have somebody in their network or in their district to help them with something like that. So it's great that, you know, this organization has definitely grown. And, you know, I'm sure having started that close to the start of the pandemic, you know, you've seen that need for women to connect and being able to have those book clubs and everything. So yeah, it's a great place to, you know, lift up voices of Black women and, you know, help them, you know, get connected and find those positions. So we talked a little bit in the pre-chat about your writing. So you have written a chapter in Jamie Fowler White's book, and I had her on the podcast about a year ago. So tell me a little bit about that chapter.
That chapter is going to center a lot around what I discussed with you, with my sort of spiel that I give to staff when I meet them. It's going to talk about failures and how to avoid letting those sort of overtake you and make you feel as if you're an imposter. Because I spent a lot of time doing that. I spent a lot of time doubting myself as a leader. Can I do this? Am I going to be good at this? And what I've learned, to be frank, in most of my doctoral classes about leadership is leadership just means that you're willing to take initiative. You're willing to go into, like you're saying, the trenches. You're willing to get in there and engage. My executive coach always talks about a lot of Brené Brown's work with sort of stepping into the arena. And that's what a leader does. And so it's not always going to be the most positive and heartfelt experience. Sometimes it's a little rocky and bumpy, but the goal is you see a problem and you intend to either fix that problem or work toward a solution with others to fix the problem. And if I adopt that understanding of leadership, that really does help to sort of sustain me when things are tough, when I'm feeling frustrated, when I don't know exactly what I need to do next. I just keep remembering if my goal is to be of service, that's all that matters.
You also wrote a chapter in Joss Damper's book, Aspire to Lead, which came out last fall. What was that chapter about?
That was more of the same, a lot more about authenticity and leadership. I talked about that when I was on Josh Samper's podcast, because that's something that's very near and dear to me, not trying to emulate and be like anyone else as a leader. And I think a lot of us in leadership, we do that to ourselves. We want to be whoever we've seen, and we really just need to walk in our own pathways so that we can be as transparent and as receptive to the teams that we're supposed to serve.
Yeah. And I think that's the best way to go about things, especially like you said, in the beginning, when you're joining a new team, like you don't want to try to be like the person you replaced.
Absolutely not.
Whether, you know, you've heard good or bad things about that person. You got to come across as, you know, real and true and be true to yourself. And yeah, you know, I get that. Like you said, for Jamie Fowler White's book, you wrote a little bit about the imposter syndrome. Like, I think most leaders feel that, right? They're they're comparing themselves a lot to you know, people whose shoes they filled, or maybe other colleagues, right? And that's I think. Do you have any tips maybe for overcoming the imposter syndrome, since you've worked in three different buildings?
I'm always going to stick to that. Be yourself. I mean, I can't be anyone else. you know, when I usually come into a room, people have all these like preconceived expectations of what I'm going to be like. I'm a dark skinned female with locks. So I come into a place and people may think whatever they may think about me. Yeah. So what I have to do is make sure that I'm operating in my core values. I stay true to them. There are certain things that are just non-negotiable with me, and that's okay. And I think making sure that people are clear on what your expectations are, but that they also know that you love and support them and you'll do anything for them. That combination is just a winning combo for any new leader. You know, I have very high expectations for the staff that I typically serve, especially when I have a particular department over which I'm responsible. But, you know, with those high expectations, I sort of couple that with the things that I love to do. I do a favorite things list where I have all of the people whom I supervise, just give me a list and give me a rundown of all the things you love. And on their birthdays, I just gift them with some of the things that they love. And I think people are like not expecting that because it's like a typical thing that, like, you know, an assistant principal does. Usually we don't do those things, but it really does matter to me to show people that I value them outside of just, you know, the school funding that's maybe provided to help support them. I need to show them that I personally value them. It's not always about what's coming from anywhere else. And then also, there are some times that I have to have conversations that are really difficult with my staff. And even as I have those difficult conversations, I still try to align it with, let's just keep the main thing, where I'm still operating in my core values. I'm not deviating from them, but I'm holding you accountable as well. And I think people respect that when they see that happening.
Yeah, like just in a group I was in yesterday, we talked about how those difficult conversations can sometimes go off track. And the meeting turns out a lot different than you had planned, right? So yeah, like keep the main idea, the reason for having the meeting on track. So we've discussed a lot about your writing and BWEL. Out of everything we've discussed today, what's one thing you'd like listeners to remember?
Just to be authentic leaders. Trust yourself. I do in Jamie Fowler's book give sort of a breakdown of how you sort of these action steps to help you be a more effective, authentic leader. And I'm hoping that people will read that and be able to take away as much as they can so that it can improve their practices as leaders. But just, you know, one of the things I talk about in the chapter is knowing your core values, knowing your skill set, and understanding your leadership style. Those things are so important. I think a lot of people take it for granted that if you know your skill set well enough, you'll know how to operate and move in any situation, especially like we just discussed when you have those very difficult conversations with people. If you understand sort of what your skill set is and what you're able to bring to the table and how you can do things like, you know, kind of sandwich some of those negative things that you have to say with the more positive, commendable things about people, that will improve the conversation a bit and at least take it in a more positive direction at the end. So just for anyone who is an aspiring leader, anyone who is currently in leadership, just know yourself, know your leadership style, know your skill set, and don't be afraid to be exactly who you are because you were prepared and designed for whatever position you have.
Do you know when that book is coming out?
Jamie Fowler has not yet given me a date, but I am just patiently waiting. I think it may be still going through some editing. We're waiting.
Is there a working title?
Right now, it should be The Labyrinth of Leadership.
Okay, Labyrinth of Leadership. Good, good. Where can people connect with you and find you online?
I am mostly on Twitter. I can be followed and connected with on @leaders_black or Latrice Younger, @LatriceYounger. Either one of those is fine. And I'd be able to reach back out and respond to you and connect with you. I'm always happy to make new connections and grow with people.
Great. It was great having you on the podcast and talking about your organization and how you want to lift up leaders' voices. Have a great rest of your evening.
Absolutely. Thank you so much, Dana. Very good to talk to you guys.
Check out the show notes on danagoodier.com to learn more about this guest and links to their social media. Please subscribe, share, rate, and review wherever you download this podcast. Tell your friends and colleagues about it. And if this episode resonates, especially with you, be sure to share it out on social media and tag me at Out of Trenches PC.